Hart Island is a narrow strip of land in New York off the coast of the Bronx. More than a million people are buried there in mass graves with no headstones or plaques. For this holiday episode of Consider This, we're doing something different. It's a story from the Radio Diaries podcast about a woman searching for a father she never met, a man missing for over 30 years. Her search leads her to Hart Island, and along the way, she finds the family that she never knew. From NPR, I'm Ari Shapiro. It's Thursday, November 23rd. Happy Thanksgiving.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron. Methane management is a critical part of achieving a lower carbon future. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices, and they've trialed over 13 advanced detection technologies, including drones and satellites. That's energy in progress. Learn more at Chevron.com/methane. Support for NPR and the following message come from Washington Wise. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington. Listen at schwab.com/Washington Wise.
It's Consider This from NPR. Since 1996, Radio Diaries has given people recording equipment and worked with them to report their own personal stories and histories. Radio Diaries' new series, The Unmarked Graveyard, tells the stories of people who were buried on Hart Island, America's largest public cemetery. Many of those people have gone unidentified. In this episode, a woman's decades-long search for her biological father leads her to Hart Island.
Oh my God, that's the island. It's crazy. It's not a lot of land for that many people to be buried. At first I thought it was eerie, but it's kind of pretty because the fog just like erases the city. It's just so beautiful. It's nicer than I thought.
My name is Annette Vega. I'm a registered nurse. I am 52 years old. I will be 53 this month. I grew up in the Bronx. I lived with two of my younger sisters and my mom and my dad. Looking back, it was a great childhood. So when I was about 7 or 8, I found out that my dad wasn't my biological father. That's the first time I came to know that there was someone else out there. This is a picture of my biological father, Angel Garcia. He looks like he's in his 30s, and he has a long mustache and a DA. Hair that's kind of brushed back. And I'm like, who was this person? Why hasn't he been in my life? Could he be looking for me? I just felt a persistent urge to find out.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Annette.
Hi. So I wanted to ask you some questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. The questions are related to Angel Garcia, who's my biological father.
No kidding.
No kidding. All right, Mother. So what do you remember about him?
He was very sweet. He was good to me. He knew he was good looking, and he was sure of himself, and who knows? He had this cologne. Oh, my God, it was the best cologne ever. He left that cologne in my drawer, and I sprayed it.
My mom had me at 16. It was a mistake. Not a mistake, but, you know, I wasn't a planned pregnancy, you know. She was a teenager growing up in the Bronx, and there was a young man Everyone called him Machu. You know, they had a little summer romance. He'd be working in the auto body shop, and she'd go home happily with grease on her backside of her shorts. And I'm like, Mom!
He used to love to drive. He used to steal cars. And I think he used to steal cars just for the fun of it.
Wow.
He was a bad boy. So I guess maybe I was into bad boys. Who knows?
Aren't we all? Do you remember the last time you guys saw each other?
I seen him after I gave birth to you. We hooked up again, and then he used to pick you up and talk to you, and we used to go on car rides with you and everything like that. And then he disappeared one day, and I went to his job, and they told me, no, that there was another woman looking for him and all that. So I never went back, and I never looked for him again.
I remember my mom telling me he was kind of a tough guy, and she thought that he was in a gang.
The South Bronx, one of New York City's roughest neighborhoods, and since the mid-60s, home to an outlaw motorcycle gang who called themselves the Chingalings.
I remember hearing about the Chingalings. They were a notorious motorcycle gang that people were fearful of. I thought he might be with them.
So what does it mean to be a Chingaling?
The religion we got is a Chingaling religion. That's the only religion we have. Ride our bikes, party, hang out. This is like a family thing.
So I literally walked up to the Chingaling's house in the Bronx. It's like painted in black and, you know, motorcycles all around. And guy comes out looking rough. He comes over, he talks to me, and I tell him, I'm trying to find my father. They call him Machu. He has green eyes. Oh, I haven't seen that dude in years. Another woman comes out and she's, you know, out on the stoop having a cigarette. And she goes, I remember him. I remember one night we were partying really hard. I got so messed up. And he helped carry me upstairs to the bedroom. That man could have done anything to me. And he put me in the bed and put a blanket on me and left. Nice guy. They wished me luck. They said, I hope you find them. I felt kind of silly looking for so long without a real reason as to why I was looking for him. I didn't need him to be my father, but I still really wanted to find him. There were thousands of questions. Where's his family? Do I have brothers? Do I have sisters? Do I have a grandmother? Do I have aunt? Where's his people? It was late January. I got a message from someone on Ancestry who gave me names. I used the white pages, I used Facebook, and I sent the messages. That evening, my phone rings. I hear this woman crying, emotional. She said, Annette, mi sobrina, tanto tiempo que tú estaba buscando. All this time, my niece, I've been looking for you. I was like, you have? You know about me?
Hi, Titi. Bendición.
Te quiero mucho.
So I'm here. I arrived at my Titi's house, my Titi Miriam, my father's sister. This is a really pretty home.
My name is Miriam, Miriam Garcia. My brother is Angel.
Angel was your brother. He was younger than you or older than you?
Mi hermano menor. En la escuela, él no.
Her younger brother. He only went to sixth grade, but there was something about him that he could just pick up things. Like he learned how to work on cars. He can take a car that was destroyed and make it look like new.
Que yo recuerdo a mi hermano como un hombre bueno.
Angel was a good man. but he had a really, really hard life.
Sí. Por eso me da tristeza hablar de él, pero yo sé que en mi casa había unas situaciones.
There was issues in the home growing up because their father was an alcoholic.
Porque mi papá era alcohólico.
And my father went to the streets. And he started using drugs at the age of 13.
Ese era el problema de él. Él estaba vendiendo droga.
He was arrested and in prison from selling drugs.
Era un sitio como un campo.
But it wasn't like a traditional prison. It was like a camp.
El policía fueron a casa.
So she said in 1985 or 86, police came to their house to tell them that he escaped. They don't know how he did it.
And
someone had to have helped them.
Mira, yo recibí una llamada de él.
She said she received a phone call from him in the summer of 1989 that he was very sick with pneumonia and he wanted to come home.
Con mi esposo. Después yo fui a Nueva York.
Her and her husband went to New York.
Caminamos por muchas calles.
They walked through the streets looking for him.
Pero no, pero más nunca volví a saber de él.
But she never heard from him again. She hasn't seen him in 30 years. She said, I don't think he's alive. Okay, so this is what I find out. I received an autopsy report, and I actually have it with me. And it says, Angel Garcia died August 3rd, 1989 at 11 p.m., 37 years old. Immediate cause of death, pneumonia, due to AIDS, as a consequence of chronic intravenous narcotism. IV drug abuser. It says he was buried in a place called Heart Island. People are buried there. People with no ID on them. People who haven't been claimed. And then I spoke to Titi Miriam. We went through it together and she put it down and she said, this is him. You found your father.
All right.
Hi.
Nice to finally meet you.
Yes, me too. I can't believe it. I'm standing here with my brother. It's like a smile. It's like he's so cute. Look at him.
Thank you.
I'm like, it was so nice.
So I found out that I had a brother named Angel. I've never met him. He also didn't know where our father was.
Block 201, section 3.
Right there. 201. Drive 27.
Yeah.
So this is the plot where Angel was buried.
Our dad.
Wow.
I was always his biggest fan, like rooting for him.
Yeah.
I must have been like 7 years old. And we went to the prison to visit him. He gave me like a boat made out of like wood. And that's the last time that I seen him. Well, now I know where he's buried.
The people that loved my father, whether it my brother, my aunt, my cousins, everyone talks about how he was such a good guy. I think they were afraid to tell me the bad stuff, whether it's being in a gang or being in prison, being an IV drug abuser. You know, Angel was not an angel, but it's who he is. I mean, it's not a complete story without all of it.
I'm putting flowers here at his grave, just planting and marking, because he's here. He's not lost.
I'm happy to see where he lays and to like tell him like, yo, Annette found you, she found us, and we're here. And now we know where you are.
That was Annette Vega and her brother Angel Garcia. And a final note, after more than a century of Hart Island being mostly off limits, the New York City Parks Department began hosting public tours this week. This story was produced by Nellie Gillis of Radio Diaries. Hear all 8 episodes of the Unmarked Graveyard series on the Radio Diaries podcast. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Ari Shapiro. I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.